And we want to finish our service by partaking of the Lord's Supper here in just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You've been seated for a minute. Let's stand. Let's read a couple verses. I'll share just a thought or two with you. I know what time it is, and we'll be sensitive to all of that. But let's take a few moments in the Scripture together. 1 Corinthians 11, notice if you would, verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you for the Word of God and what it means to us. Lord, we're so thankful for a time in a service like this when we can pause and we can remember the sacrifice that was paid for our sins. Lord, there's not a one of us in this room that's better than anyone else. Not a one of us that deserves salvation, not a one of us that has arrived at where we are spiritually. Lord, I pray that you would help us for just a minute or two to understand what it means to examine our heart. And I pray that as we partake of these elements, that we would do so out of sincerity, and we'd do so out of a heart of humility. Thank you for this time. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. The Corinthian church was a troubled church. If you know anything about the context, you're reading about a group of believers that had all kinds of problems. Now, we say that all churches have problems because they have people in them. And that's a true statement. And here's a group of believers that did not have any problem welcoming the sin of other believers. They had no reservations against teaching that some people were better than others. They had accepted this idea that, well, there are those that had arrived spiritually and therefore they were just better than everyone else spiritually. They had no problem withholding food from those who were less fortunate. You see, in this day, for these people, at the beginning of the church, there was often a fellowship meal, and many times that meal would be followed by what we would recognize or understand as communion. Some churches still practice that today. There are some churches who every Sunday they have a gathering and a meal, and that's fine. It's not a doctrine. It's not commanded, but some practice that. And there were some who had this idea that when you showed up with your dish, then certain people could partake of it and certain people could not. It'd be akin to what we would understand as a modern-day potluck, or a modern-day, we're just going to have a church fellowship. And so what it looked like in Paul's day as he's dealing with them, some folks in the church were labeled, and when they came through the line, they couldn't have something out of one dish or another dish. Now, can you imagine you're going through the fellowship hall line, and some quiet and kind lady smacks your hand with a spoon because she doesn't want you to have her beans. Now, I didn't point at any ladies in the sanctuary. Some of you are pointing at some women. Never mind the fact that the people in front of you can have them and the people behind you can have them, but you can't have them. This is what's happening in Paul's day, and that's just silly. That's absurd. And Paul said, in fact, in several other places throughout 1 Corinthians, he strongly opposed that kind of preferential behavior, that kind of behavior that lifted man up instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he warns them that they were taking the memory of Christ's death and they were dumbing it down, and they were in a sense practicing or remembering it to the place where it had no meaning. In fact, they were turning that time together into a feast, and Paul said, this needs to stop. It needs to be dealt with. Now, he deals with some things in this passage. He deals first with the bread and with the cup, and we won't take the time to go through all of that. But you remember Paul received this instruction, and it seems as if he received it personally from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Paul was saved after the crucifixion of Christ, and after that miraculous conversion, the Bible tells us that he went away for a period of about 3 years, and he was instructed. And during that time of instruction, the Lord worked in his heart and showed him several things. And now here he is in verse number 23, and he says, "For I have received, and now let me share with you what I have received." In other words, there's a right way and there's a wrong way to remember the Lord's death. There's a right way and there's a wrong way to take part of that. And the bread that we will partake of here in just a moment was to be a symbol of the body of Christ. It was to remind us of the suffering and the abuse that took place on the cross of Calvary. The cup was a representation of the blood of Christ. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Anyone who tells you that you can be saved any other way save the blood of Christ is lying. It's a lie. Jesus Christ's blood was enough to save all mankind and all who will believe in Christ and accept Him as their personal Savior can have a home in heaven. And so Paul said, we are in a sense, I'm going to use this word and I recognize what it means, but we are celebrating, we are remembering the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and we are rejoicing of what the sacrifice did for us. But sometimes we so often and we so easily forget what that sacrifice entailed. We talk about and complain about the small sacrifices that we have to make, when in a sense, they are nothing compared to the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about two things for just a minute or two. They're found in verse 27, 28, and 29. I want us to look at the attitude for the Lord's Supper. And if I read these verses correctly, there are two ways that a person can partake of the Lord's Supper. And Paul makes it clear to these members of this church, as well as to you and I as well. The first are those who are examined before they partake. Those who are examined before they partake in the Lord's Supper table. Look at verse number 28, would you? The Bible speaks about this examination. And can I ask you a question? Who is doing this examination? Yourself. It is a self-examination. According to the Bible, the one who examines themselves before partaking of the Lord's Supper is the one who is partaking it in a worthy manner. Some say, well, preacher, I just don't think that's fair. I don't think that's the way that it ought to be. But it certainly is the least that you and I can do in sincerity when we think about the sacrifice that Jesus paid for us. What are we examining ourselves for? And the answer is real simple. Sin. Anything that keeps me from a right relationship with God. Big sins and little sins. Hidden sins and open sins. Stubborn sins and flippant sins. Ones that plague you in the back of your mind and ones that you deal with all the time. Sins that you think are okay, but your spouse reminds you that it's a sin. Sins that you think are okay, but and the world says is okay, but the Holy Ghost of God convicts you that it is wrong. And when I examine myself, the Bible tells me that I am to confess it and I am to forsake it. And God's promise that He will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness and restore us back to fellowship. But we can't go running and hiding and ignoring and pushing aside and hoping that it will go away and still be wholehearted when we come to the Lord's Supper table. You know what I found to be the case with the average church member? It's not so much that we read about a passage like this and we realize that stealing is wrong or that infidelity is wrong or what we would sometimes categorize as big sins, but we do a real good job of justifying our unforgiveness and the grudge that we hold and the critical spirit that we have. I mean, after all, they deserve to be criticized. After all, I'm the right one and they're the wrong one. My friend, that's the wrong attitude. Now look, you're not offending the preacher. You're offending Almighty God. And there's a right way and a wrong way. And the first one are those who are examined before they partake. But the second one are those who are examined after. Look at verse number 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Here's a group that is made up of those who come to church flippantly and they partake of the Lord's supper table as if it's not a serious matter, as if it's something that you just go through the motions of. After all, my sin's not as bad as someone else's sin. After all, I'm not as bad a person as they are. I might be saved. They may be saved, but they're not committed. These are Sunday Christians. And by the way, the people outside the church call that kind of a Christian a hypocrite. They call us hypocrites. And they sit and they soak and they sour and they usually find fault with everyone and everything. Now, wait a minute. You can justify whatever you want to, but you know what Paul is dealing with most in this church is there's a group of people who thought they were better than everyone else. And therefore, the instruction was to examine yourself because, ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it, there is coming a time when we will be judged. And there will be an examination. And if I read the scripture right, God does not tolerate that kind of behavior. He doesn't allow that kind of an attitude. It's called the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. One day I was in the hospital, and a person made a statement to me. They said, "Preacher, I know why I'm in the hospital. Because I have committed," and they named this sin in their life. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, they stayed in the hospital for over a week after that. And to my knowledge, never did deal with it. Several years ago, I was sitting in someone's living room, and I was helping this family, trying to encourage them with some financial hardships they had. And it was as if the conversation had finally had a place of humility. And both parties began to weep and they said, "Preacher, the reason our finances are the way they are is because we've been living with an affair in our marriage." I could tell you story after story. Many folks come to the church and they bring their problems and their struggles of sin. Some people take Bible advice, some people ignore it. But I'm simply saying to you today, we will all reckon one day. Every man shall give an account of himself before the Lord. And just as the Corinthian church had some problems, so do we. We're not there yet. And to come and partake without examination is almost to challenge the Word of God. It is to challenge the authority of what the Bible has written. Can I ask you a question? Are you in fellowship tonight with God? Are you keeping short accounts spiritually? I mean, is there anything? Is there a sin that you're unwilling to deal with? Is there a difficulty that is lodged into the back of your mind? And as much as you push it aside, look, you're the only one that can make that decision. No one can drag you to the altar and deal with it for you. The preacher can pray with you and your family can pray with you, but you must examine yourself. And that's why the instruction is given not once, but twice. Not only in verse number 27, but also in verse number 29. He said, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. There is a time when this is to be worship. This is to be worthiness. This is to be remembrance. This is to be repentance. So let a man examine himself. There are those who are examined before they partake, and there are those who are examined after. I have a question. Which one of those people are you going to be? Let's take a moment, and we're not going to sing a song of invitation. In fact, we may just play some music here in a minute. But I'm not so much worried about us rushing to the instruments. But I wonder if we can just take a minute in the quietness of our heart, and let's spend some time an examination. Maybe Brother Crow, 30, 60 seconds or so, if you'll just find your way to the platform, we'll play through a verse or two. But let's just take some time and do examination. If you want to come to the altar is open. You slip out, you come. You know the drill. You've been in church before. But let's come and let's do examination.